With me today, Jared and Bethany and Nathaniel, and you're going to hear their story very soon. But just a little bit first of all, so we work for Wycliffe Bible Translators. Last year I got you all to, or I got some of you to come up and to read the scriptures from a Bible that you didn't know the language of that. Just to illustrate what it's like when you have to operate in a language that is not your own language and how difficult that is. And I feel sure that there are many here that understand what that is like. And when you have something in your own language, how that resonates with you and it speaks to your heart and to your mind. So that is what we do with Wycliffe Bible Translators. We are translating the Bible into the languages of the world that don't have the Bible in their language. They have not even one verse of the Bible in their language. I also showed you an app that you can put onto your phone that looks like this, and it's called the Scripture Earth app. And on this app are listed resources of Bible translations of languages all over the world. So you will most likely be able to look up your language and find it if it's been translated. Is that me making some?
Some people online.
Okay. So this is a great tool. Now you probably know people who speak other languages than English. Maybe these are your neighbours, maybe these are colleagues, and maybe you would love to be able to engage with them in a different way. You could ask them, do you have the Bible in your language? And they might say, well, yes, I do. And you can say, well, what language is it? And then you can write their language in that space at the top, and up will come what is there. And it might be written scriptures, it might be recorded scriptures, it might be the Jesus video. And so that is a great way of finding out about another person, valuing their language and their culture, and introducing them to the idea, well, you actually can find out about Jesus in your language. Sometimes you might find somebody who hasn't got the Bible translated into their language, and so that's then an opportunity to pray for that people group that don't have the scriptures. I'm telling you that because I have these little cards over here, which are the Scripture Earth app cards, and they're on the table at the front. So you all know how to use a QR code by now, don't you? So on the front is a QR code that takes you to the app, and then you can use that. So if you'd like to take one of those because you think it might be a good way of ministering to other people, then please avail yourself of that. So now I'd like to introduce you to Jared and to Bethany. This is a really special occasion today, because you can come up, Jared, because it's not too often that you get to meet people who are at the beginning of the journey of starting a Bible translation. So Jared and Bethany have done their training, and he will tell you about that, and they are ready to go and to start a Bible translation for a language group that have not one verse of scripture. So this is very exciting. I get excited. I hope that you will really enjoy hearing their story. Thanks, Jared.
Thank you, Helen.
Good morning, everyone. We're Jared and Bethany Kelly, and I've got my son Nathaniel here, who you'll very likely hear from this morning again. He has a lot to say. He's two. He'll tell you lots of things if you give him the opportunity. So we're excited to be sharing with you today, and thanks for taking the time to hear from us. I thought I might start with telling you a little bit about our background. I grew up in a town called Bathurst in New South Wales. It's it's a bit of a country town, and I lived there until I went to Bible college in Sydney. But before I went there, I did some time as an AFES, Australian Fellowship of Evangelical Students, I was a ministry apprentice where I ministered to university students. And during my time there, I realised what a privilege it was to have the Bible so accessible in my own language, in the language that I grew up with. And this, after I met some Wycliffe missionaries, this grew my interest in the work of Bible translation. Bethany grew up in Papua New Guinea. Her parents were missionaries. They were Bible translators involved in the translation of the Bwanabwana language in Milne Bay Province. When the Bwanabwana people received their New Testament for the first time, Bethany got to see firsthand the impact that, and the joy of having God's word in their own language. And that gave her a desire to be involved in mission work as well. So Bethany and I met at Bible College, at Sydney Missionary Bible College, also known as Single Married by Christmas or Single Man's Best Chance. It's got a lot of names. And while we were there, we decided to go on a field trip with Wycliffe to Vanuatu to learn more about Bible translation on the field. So on our trip, we discovered that there was a great need and hunger in Vanuatu for people to come and help them translate the Bible into their own languages. We finished Bible College and we were married in 2018, and after much prayer, we moved to the Wycliffe Centre at Kangaroo Ground to do further training to serve in Bible translation, literacy and scripture engagement. But before I go on, I'll tell you a little bit about the state of Bible translation and the needs in Vanuatu. So Vanuatu is one of Australia's closest neighbours. It has over 100 indigenous languages in a population of about 300,000. That makes it the country with the highest number of languages per capita in the world. And these languages are spread across about 65 inhabited islands. Most of these languages have no part of the Bible translated. I think at the moment, this is off the top of my head, so I can't quite remember the exact figure, but there are about 8 indigenous languages in Vanuatu that have a New Testament. So less than 10%. Most have nothing translated. Some only have a small portion of scripture, and others require an updated translation because some of those Bible portions, which might only be a short story from one of the Gospels, some of those portions of scripture were translated over 100 years ago, and in reality, no one uses them anymore because language changes a little bit in 100 years and people can't really understand it anymore. There are complete Bibles available in the official languages in Vanuatu, which are English, French and Islama, which is the trade language. These can be very hard to understand for the average New Vanuatu person, especially among the more remote villages where people mainly speak their own native languages and they might not have had so much access to quality education. For most people living in Australia, especially those who've grown up here, it can be really hard to understand what it's like to not have a Bible that is accessible. So I thought I'd share a little story. When Bethany and I went to Vanuatu in 2018, we visited a local village church and they had a visiting speaker from another part of the island. And he came and he was preaching on Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. And I knew this because he kept on repeating the start of the verse in English, "Arise and shine." And he was very animated. And he preached the rest of the sermon in Islama, the national trade language. I wasn't really able to understand anything from the sermon other than we were supposed to arise and shine. Who knows what he meant by that. We found out later that the locals at the church were just about as confused as we were. Only one of them could speak English. And not all of them spoke Islama very well. Especially the women who wouldn't be doing business outside the village, and so they wouldn't have any opportunities to practice Islama. Imagine for a moment what that might be like. Some of you might not have to imagine. Wanting to know what God says in the Bible, but always having to hear it in languages which are not your own. Many in Vanuatu are churchgoers, but to them, God doesn't speak their language. And there are people in Vanuatu who are waiting to hear the voice of Jesus, not in a trade language and not in the language of a foreigner, but in their own language. Later on in our stay at that village, the Wycliffe translator, who had been working with that language for 20 years, set up a projector in the church and showed several Bible stories for the children in the village. Dozens of children and most of the adults came along to listen, and they were absolutely rapt as they listened to stories that we have easy access to. It had taken years to come to that point, but now they can hear the voice of Jesus in their own language. Also, we've got slides. That's us. I often forget about the PowerPoint. So there's Vanuatu. That's the church that we visited. Oh yeah, and that's us at Wycliffe. So our family is planning to go and start a new translation project with a people group that does not have a Bible they can use. I'll be looking after the translation side of things, and Bethany will be doing scripture engagement activities, literacy, and homeschooling Nathaniel. So where are we up to in that plan? As Helen said, we're right at the beginning, almost. So we've completed all our training for Wycliffe. Our next big thing is to do an orientation in Vanuatu. So the director in Vanuatu is hoping to run this orientation this year, for us and all the other people who are going. But this will depend on when the borders open up due to COVID and a few other things, like getting all our paperwork and visas in order. After that orientation, we'll be meeting with the director, and we'll be deciding which particular language we'll be working with. So Bible translation is a big job. Bible translation is a big job. In fact, it's too big for one family. But it's not too big for God to make happen. The body of Christ, working by the Holy Spirit, is what will make happen. And you can have an important role in Bible translation without having to learn Greek or Hebrew or study linguistics. We need people like you who will encourage us and who will encourage Bible translators, who will pray for us and for the people of Vanuatu. And we also need partners who will be financial supporters. We would love you to pray with us and to follow along on our journey and encourage us and support us financially if the Lord leads you that way. If you'd like to follow our journey, we have a newsletter that we send out 4 times a year. You can find us on the Wycliffe website, wycliffe.org.au, under the members page. You'll be able to find us there, or we have prayer cards here today which you can come grab us. And if you've got more questions about Bible translation and how it works and things like that, please come and chat to us afterwards. I'll be happy to talk your ears off. Thanks again for listening. It's been lovely to share with you. Helen's going to come up.
Thanks, Jared. It truly is an exciting point in the Killies' lives, but also the lives of the people that they will be going to serve, that they are ready, they have put their hand up to do this. So thank you, Jared and Bethany. So for the next little bit, just before I go on, I put this picture up here. I used this last weekend up at Belgrave Heights Easter Convention. So apparently, in the armed services, they have what they call a teeth-to-tail ratio. Have you ever heard of that? So I hadn't either, but this was what my seminar was named by somebody else. They named it this because the teeth of a caterpillar up there I don't know if you are a gardener, but if you come out one morning, I came out to my lemon tree and I found that there were black caterpillars all over my lemon tree and they were eating the leaves and they had been at it for a while, so the leaves were being stripped. It was those teeth, they're just relentless, they keep going and going. So they're the teeth, but you also need the tail of a caterpillar to function, don't you? The concept is that when you go into war, you need to have people who are the teeth on the front line, but you need this massive tail behind them to sustain them. Well, I took this as a picture for Bible translation. Jared and Bethany and the people they're going to are the teeth, and the rest of us are the tail. And so we have this large amount of effort going on behind the scenes in order for this to be able to happen. As Jared said, you need a team of people. And I just wanted to again show you opportunities to be involved. So of course getting behind the Killies is one way, but even locally on the home scene here, we have a great need at our Wycliffe property. I'd love you to pray with us for this, for a new finance manager coming up in the next few months. We have a need for administrators. Doesn't she look amazing doing all those things? And we have a need for people who love gardening. So, you know, God uses all kinds of people and all kinds of talents and abilities, doesn't he, to keep that tail supporting the teeth. So just putting that there for you. It's always God's story when he moves in someone's heart to do something. So maybe today he might tap you on the shoulder to do something. But now for the next just little while, I want us to concentrate on this. Words from the mouth of God. Anna read to us the scripture passage, and I'm going to read that again to you. Why do we go to this great effort of bringing the scriptures to the forgotten people of the world? The ones whose languages that we've never heard of. They don't speak English or Mandarin or Spanish or Hindi or Arabic. Those are the major languages of the world. And those major languages have no relevance to these people that are forgotten around the world. Why do people like Jared and Bethany prepare and plan to go and work in a language group in Vanuatu? It's because these are words from the mouth of God that are in the scriptures. Let me just pray and then we'll keep going. Heavenly Father, I do ask that you would speak to us this morning. Your words of truth and hope and light and joy. Father, would you open our ears to what you would have to say to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Matthew 4:4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I love God's word. And I'm sure that you have your reasons for loving God's word. I'm going to speak about three things why I love God's word. God's word is counter-cultural. What do I mean by that? The culture of our society might be loudly saying something, but God's word often says something else. What are some of the messages that we hear broadcast loudly to us out in society? Things like, my rights, your fault, you are to blame, you deserve it, you will pay for this. But God's word has the power and the wisdom to cut through all of the rubbish and all of the distraction, the self-centeredness, and it gets to the heart of the matter. I love Hebrews 4:12 that says, the word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it gets in, and it penetrates, and it divides the soul and the spirit. It judges, it convicts, It rebukes, but it also encourages and gives life. Let me read to you a story that you'll know well from John chapter 8. A story of where Jesus' words are counter to the culture. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. I'm going to kind of act it out just a little bit as I read it to you. But you can also just close your eyes and listen if you prefer that. At dawn, Jesus appeared in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. But Jesus bent down and he started to write on the ground. At this, he started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus' words were countercultural. That was not what they were expecting to hear that day. And it got through all of the distraction, all of the scheming that was going on to bring that woman down. He cut through it all. He didn't even answer their question. I love how Jesus often, when asked, when challenged on something, he doesn't answer that question. He asks a different question, getting the distraction out of the picture and cutting to the heart of the matter. I love that Jesus' words are countercultural. I also love that Jesus' words, God's word, addresses the whole person. So in the Bible reading, it says that Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." But I think that many people in Australia do try and live on bread alone, as in the physical things. I'm not talking about diet here. Many people try to live and satisfy themselves with physical things. So food, entertainment, exercise, sleep, health, work. And there is a pushback from people, a resistance to God and to his word, because of the illusion that bread does satisfy, that if I just get this thing, then I'll be satisfied. If I just do this, then I will be satisfied. And also the perception that people have that God just wants to take from us, and that he just wants to say, "Don't do this, don't do this, do this." They don't understand who God is. When we feed on the media and on human wisdom, or we feed on the attitudes of others, when we relax with mockery or criticism, we miss the freedom that Jesus offers, and we get bound up in anger and frustration or fear. Psalm chapter 1 has a great description of a person who is getting bound up in these things. It says, "One who walks in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, and sits in the seat of mockers." This is what I see happening in our society when people don't know God and his word. But we who have been set free from sin and death by accepting Jesus as our Savior, we have a freedom that the world can't provide. God is good, and God is love. He's not just loving, He is love, and He is just, and He is over all things. And through God's word, we get to understand more of His character, and our minds become attuned with His. The Holy Spirit works to attune us with God, gives us the mind of Christ, showing us a different way to live and to operate. I am asking God for more opportunities so that I can share who He is with people around me, praying for people who are ready to hear. I think that they are there and they don't know who Jesus is. Let's be praying for opportunities to share the goodness of God with others, because it brings freedom. We have a freedom that others don't know that they can have. So what are we feeding on? Is it bread alone, or is it on the words that come from the mouth of God through the scriptures? It's not enough for us to have the scriptures in our own language, to have them in our hand or on a shelf or on a table. It's not enough. We have to engage with them. That's what Bethany is going to be doing. As Jared is working on the translation, she is going to be helping the people to engage with the scriptures so that they can then change their lives. We need to be ready to use the scriptures and be ready to stand on them when Jesus asks us to be countercultural. I want to tell you a story of a friend of mine in Papua New Guinea. Her name is Imako. She's about my age. She's raised four children and she's a widow, and she lives in a bush house in a village a couple of hours from where we used to live at Ukurumpa in Papua New Guinea. She would come and work for different people doing housekeeping, house cleaning, to earn a little bit of money to be able to buy rice and salt, that kind of thing. Imago never got to go to school. She was always sad about that. She said, "Oh, I never had the chance to go to school. I'm going to make sure my children can go to school." But she asked God to help her to learn to read, because she wanted to be able to read her Bible, which she had in her own language. And you know, God granted that to her, and she learned to read on her own with God's help. She knows her Bible better than I do, way better than I do, and she would tell me a verse to go with a particular situation that was happening in my life. And so I was greatly encouraged by her knowledge of the Bible that God had given her. But not only was she knowledgeable, she stood on God's word. So one day she heard that there was going to be a fight between two groups of young men. They were coming from different villages, and it was probably a dispute over land. So she thought, right, these people are going to start this fight, and in a fight in Papua New Guinea, it's not like a fisticuffs, it's not a wrestling match. It's bows and arrows and spears. So people routinely die in these kinds of confrontations. So she decided she's going to do something about this. So I have to put the microphone down at this point, but not for long. She went to her house and she grabbed a saucepan and a spoon. And then she set off, she went down the hill, and then she went up the hill and through the jungle, and she had a couple of kilometres to get to where they were going to fight. And this is what she did. So for those of you at home that didn't see that, she ran into the fight. So there's still two groups of men facing off against one another. She runs in, gets their attention with the saucepan. That's a pretty good way to get someone's attention, isn't it? Runs in there, and then she says to them, "You boys, do not fight today." She said, "You caused us enough pain when we mothers gave birth to you." I thought that was kind of funny. She said, "Don't cause us more pain today by killing each other. Jesus died so that you don't have to kill each other today. You are to forgive one another. Put your spears down. And they listened to her. And they put their spears down. And they went home and nobody died that day. She was brave enough. She had courage because of her belief in the Word of God to change lives, to stake her own life and to run into the middle of that situation and to stop them. Wow, that just inspires me. But we need to be inspired to think about what can we do in our lives to stand on the Word of God to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. And she spoke strongly to them. That was what was required that day. But sometimes it's a gentle answer that turns away wrath. So we need to be listening to God. We need to be in His Word and ready for opportunities to be able to use His Word to bring freedom. God's Word addresses the whole person and brings freedom. And finally, God's Word changes lives. Friends of ours in Papua New Guinea, oh, just to go back, my husband and I went as school teachers for the children of missionaries. Actually, Bethany was one of those children that we got to teach in the school up at Ukurumba. Isn't God amazing? As you get older in life, you sometimes see things come around in a full circle, don't you? So Bethany is one of the children that we got to teach in Papua New Guinea. While we were there, we met this couple, Kim and Annie Coolidge. They are Bible translators on the coast of Papua New Guinea. They've been there for a very long time and the translation is continuing, but there wasn't much engagement with the scriptures. Annie decided just about 3 years ago that she was going to start a woman's Bible study with the translated scriptures that they have. So she set about to meet with the ladies one day a week, and they were coming and they were enjoying it. And they were taking the verses that had been translated and applying it to their lives. One of the ladies decided to take the verses home to show them to her husband. Now he was a violent man, an angry man, and he was hard to live with. But she took the verses home and she showed them to him. Well, he just took them, screwed them up, and threw them away. But she wasn't deterred by that. And she took the verses home the next week, and then the next week. And he started to look at what they were saying. One day he said to her, "Do you think I could come to the ladies' Bible study?" And she said, "Yes, I think you could." So along he came. So picture them here in the front, and he sat way down the back with his arms crossed like this. And he listened. And those words of God changed his heart. And he gave his life to the Lord. Now that man is the leader of the translation team for the village. God's word has the power to change individual lives and also communities. My own husband, I watched his life turn around as he engaged with the scriptures for the first time in his life. He'd never heard about Jesus except that he thought that Jesus was about rules and no fun. Somebody said to him, "You are an intelligent man, Max." And of course that appealed to his ego. And they said, "You wouldn't reject God until you had heard who he is." And Max thought, fair enough. So he was given a Bible and he was told, "Read the book of Luke." So he sits down and he starts reading the book of Luke and he wants to find out, okay, what are they saying here? And he starts hearing about Jesus and he finds out that Jesus is countercultural and that Jesus is addressing the whole person and that Jesus is changing lives. And he said, "Wow, this sounds like truth to me." What he was learning at university about sociology and psychology and science and mathematics and different world views that were being taught weren't making sense. And suddenly he hears about Jesus and he goes, "That's it. And at that point, he gave his life to the Lord, and his life was turned around. Now, I witnessed that, and that has been a powerful thing in my life, to see somebody's life change dramatically. I hope you have witnessed that. Pray for that. Don't give up on praying for the people that you want to see changed by God's word. His word is living and active and powerful. But it brings freedom. What stories do you have of the freedom that you have found as you've come to know Jesus? I would love to hear your stories. Wouldn't it be great to share those stories with one another of the freedom that you have found through God's word, the freedom you have found with Jesus? Maybe today, after the service, you could tell somebody of that freedom that you have found. Maybe you haven't found that freedom, and maybe you need to consider surrendering your life to Jesus. It's written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that works in our lives, changing us from the inside out. Father, help us to tell others about you, to share your great story with other people so that they too can have the freedom that we know. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.